If you're a label reader, this one's for you. Because your skin deserves more than empty promises. At Hiba Botanica, every formula is made in-house. In small batches using organic, truly non-toxic ingredients. Plastic-free packaging, clean, effective botanicals. And safe for all skin types, even acne prone. No greenwashing, no filler. Just skincare that's gentle, non-comedogenic, and designed with intention. Hiba Botanica. Non-toxic, plastic-free. Always safe for your skin. Shop online at HibaBotanica.com. That's X.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The headline in the Wall Street Journal is stark. Lab leak most likely origin of COVID-19 pandemic, Energy Department now says. The subhead, U.S. agency's revised assessment is based on new intelligence. I welcome Anthony Ruggiero of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, who in those critical months, late 2019, early 2020, was the senior director for counterproliferation and biodefense for the National Security Council, saw what was available, what was not available, and these many years later, recommending an independent commission to put together what we have, the dots on the table we have about the origins of COVID-19. There are two large schools. One is it was natural. It came from animal life, passed through the case goes to a wet market in Wuhan. The other is that it was a lab leak. Origins not entirely solved, but certainly the vector, a lab leak. Those two schools are now part of the conversation, and it's been fraught many years by political advantage and partisan rhetoric. However, the independent commission, in time, will put every voice in the room and look for information from China. Anthony, a very good evening to you. I congratulate what you managed at the time, because you could not know that there was an asteroid headed to the world and we were going to get hit. You could not know that. We know now a great deal. Your call for an independent commission, I celebrate. What will it look like in your mind, Anthony? Good evening to you.
Good evening, and thanks for having me. I think when we look at COVID origins, you know, certainly we've been looking at this issue for 3 years. And to me, the stunning and unfortunate statement is, you know, more than 3 years later, we do not know how the COVID-19 pandemic started. And just here in America, you know, over a million people have died, and many more than that over, you know, throughout the world, and many more have been infected. But, you know, we don't have a lot of the answers that we should have. And, you know, there's reasons why we need these answers, you know, the first being to prepare us for the next pandemic, but also to allow us to think about, you know, what we did correctly and what we did wrong. And, you know, this is one that you know, started in the Trump administration, but has continued through the Biden administration. And to me, that argues for really a nonpartisan independent commission. I know we had one after the 9/11 attacks. That seems like a good model to follow. There are plenty of people, Republican and Democrat, experts in the field, experts in policy and other relevant fields that could be put together, that could put this type of report together. But, you know, as you well know, the biggest piece of this will need to be cooperation from China. And that is going to be, that always will be the hardest part of this investigation, unfortunately.
The Energy Department, in judging the lab leak, says that it has low confidence. I mention also that the natural transmission also has low confidence. Why? Because the critical information is in China, at the Wuhan lab, at the people who were at the lab and dealt with it at the time, at those who were sent to Wuhan once the scale of the human-to-human transmission became obvious. All of that information is either missing or incomplete or not trustworthy. And for 3 years, very serious investigations have been going on by scientists and by journalists and by political voices to find out more of the information. And Anthony, you've dealt with classification. You understand the language. Low probability or low confidence, high confidence? What meaning does that have? How does that convey to the rest of the government the worth of the data?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned what I certainly was going to mention. I think, you know, as the reports came out over the weekend from the Wall Street Journal initially about DOE's, change of opinion toward lap leak being likely transmission and low confidence, there were some who believe in the natural occurrence, the natural transmission, that were keying on the low confidence. But as you noted, if you go back to the August 2021 intelligence community report, the four elements that assessed that it was natural exposure were also with low confidence. I think the other thing people also to point out is that the one element which has been reported as the FBI, but I don't know if that's confirmed yet, but that element, which was in the August 2021, assessed it with moderate confidence. I think the way to step back, those are just ways for intelligence community elements to convey to policymakers, and in this case, in a public document, how confident they are in their assessments. But when you take a step back, all of the agencies have said that two hypotheses are possible, whether it's natural exposure to an infected animal or a laboratory associated incident. But you'd be excused if you didn't realize that reading things that are in, you know, very reputable papers, or scientists who are tweeting about the laboratory accident being some kind of tinfoil hat conspiracy. It's not. As I said to folks over the weekend, the lab leak is not and was not a conspiracy theory. It is a legitimate likelihood or a legitimate possibility. But I go back to the original statement, we just don't know. And I think your listeners and others should be very reluctant, or their meter should go up. They should be reluctant to believe someone when they say, "Oh, I've discovered the definitive, origin of COVID," which unfortunately is what many of the people who believe in natural exposure have said time and time again. The spoiler alert on that is they haven't. Their evidence is circumstantial, just as the lab leak. And it doesn't help anyone when they unintentionally pump up one side, which is natural transmission, and then dismiss lab leak.
We cannot answer the lab leak or natural right now, but there are things that can be investigated that may help acquire information inside China. And one of the things that occurs to me, because Anthony was there at the NSC, is how the Chinese leadership in Wuhan and in Beijing dealt with the information that they had that was not shared with the United States, with China, with the world, with the WHO. And I've done a timeline to take you back to those days of your charge to watch this building, this biodefense, your sophisticated filters at the NSC. As early as December, they were dealing with cases in China. And it was important to them, from my reading of the datelines, to say that this was either not human-to-human transmission, that it was from tainted meat, I suppose, would be one theory. Or on January 15th, on Chinese television, it was said to have a low human-to-human transmission, low probability or low transmission human-to-human. That is a critical factor. And in the original Wall Street Journal stories, March 6th, this is early on, before we knew the scale of this catastrophe, this isn't looking with 2020 hindsight. This is inside the story itself on March 6th. We learned that the Chinese authorities or doctors were giving quotes out anonymously, but they were giving quotes out saying, "We knew the government was lying. We knew it all the time, but we were waiting for people to react to it." Did you know that you were being lied to? Could you tell at the NSC at the time that when China used the television to say there was a low probability of human to human, that that was a falsehood?
You know, I think the other thing about that time, too, is that China was stifling any kind of dissent. There were doctors and others who were, whistleblowers And they were dealt with in the way that China deals with dissenters. They were forced to recant and in other ways, had to say that what they said was not true. I think in the early days, there were generally two approaches. One was looking at the information we had. Again, as you noted, not using 2020 hindsight, knowing what we know now about what was actually occurring, but looking at the information we had and saying, okay, we're going to develop our policy options based on those. And, we'll certainly prepare if things get worse. And then there were others of us who did not believe what the Chinese were saying, and that we believe that we should be more forward-leaning. And, of course, even in that latter category, things could have gone in a different direction. There are other outbreaks that occur that do not turn into pandemics. It just so happens that this one did. And I think, it's important also to point out that in January and February in particular of 2020, the World Health Organization and its leadership was not helpful. They were not actually doing the job that they're assigned, which is to warn us when these kinds of things are coming. Instead, they spent more time, being essentially a Chinese mouthpiece, praising China and Xi Jinping in particular, for his, for reducing the number of cases and deaths. And of course, we know that was not true. Now, using 2020 hindsight, we know much, but probably not all, of the extent to which China was truly lying to all of us and how much that really harmed our ability, especially early on, not just here in the United States, but elsewhere in Europe and Asia and elsewhere, to respond to this, initial outbreak that became a pandemic.
There's so much we don't know. And when we come back, I'm going to tell Anthony and you a story about John at Kennedy Airport on Saturday after the Trump administration had recommended limiting in some fashion Americans or people who traveled to China the last 14 days and were returning. Early days of feeling, what is to be done? This is about the question mark about the origins of the Wuhan-based virus COVID-19. We can't answer the lab. We can ask questions about what was known in January and February by the Chinese government that is still needs to be connected. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Madden.
I'm Mo Rocca, and it's been a while. But I've been busy digging up even more stories about the people and things of the past that are fascinating me now.
What did your father think of the label, of the whole idea of the Latin lover?
From the screen idols who redefined Hollywood's leading man.
I think it was a love-hate relationship. My dad hated the word macho.
That's what I call the Latin lover type of a role, which is one-dimensional.
To the dog who introduced millions of kids to classic literature.
I remember, on my 10th birthday, I think it was, we were going to go mini-golfing, and I insisted, but we had to stay home for Wishbone first.
Listen to Mobituaries wherever you get your podcasts.
Now to exclusive reporting from CBS News.
Join Gail King, Tony DeCoppel, and Nate Burleson for original reporting. CBS Mornings, weekday mornings on CBS.
Over the past few years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected how we live our daily lives. Today, we also face a mental health pandemic that threatens our well-being as we attempt to rebuild our social networks and communities.
The pandemic has reminded us to value family, community, and our human connections. However, it has also left many of us feeling more isolated, confused, and alone, struggling to find meaning amid loss and uncertainty.
Today, 1 in 5 Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges. But many of us do not understand what we are facing or know how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you are going through, and we are here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental health. If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
If you're a label reader, this one's for you, because your skin deserves more than empty promises. At Hiba Botanica, every formula is made in-house, in small batches using organic, truly non-toxic ingredients, plastic-free packaging, clean, effective botanicals, and safe for all skin types, even acne-prone. No greenwashing, no filler, just skincare that's gentle, non-comedogenic, and designed with intention. Hiba Botanica, non-toxic, plastic-free, always safe for your skin. Shop online at HibaBotanica.com. That's X.